people told me I couldn't do a lot of things.
I feel like I'm the chosen one.
Look at this. We created this. This didn't exist before we were here. All we are is proud and passionate. I love Toronto. I love this team. And we're going to the NBA Finals.
Nothing matters but winning.
Welcome back to episode 77 of Rapsville Weekly. I'm your co-host, Gabriel Cellio, alongside
Adam Casucci.
And today we have a couple of games to go over. We have three games because there was a back-to-back, couple of losses and a win. But before we get into that, as always, please like and subscribe. Check us out on Instagram at Rapsville for NBA News Raptors content. And leave your comments down below for your opinions on these pieces.
Okay, so it kind of has been a roller coaster over the last couple of games. Obviously with the results we've been getting. But I wanted to start off this podcast with talking about the new signings that the Raptors have got. Obviously, we have signed Kem Birch to a one-year deal, $400,000, so very cheap, veterans minimum almost type of deal. Gabe, what's your opinion on this signing?
Yeah, so this one, we kind of heard it building up when he got waived. We were believed to be the only team interested, looking like we were going to pick him up off the bat here. Initial reactions, obviously disappointed that we missed out on all the other possible free agents and guys that were bought out and settling for Kem Birch, a guy who, you know, wasn't getting a lot of minutes to start with, hasn't had, you know, much play this season in general, and not the center that we were hoping for. You know, he is undersized, 6'9", 233. One good thing, obviously, is that he is a Montreal native Canadian, so obviously it's good to see that. We're glad to have a Canadian on this team, another player come alongside Boucher. But it is a little disappointing, I think, that he wasn't the piece that I expected to get. I think there is some type of room with him, you know, in the game that we saw him play. There is some upside, but there seems to also be a little bit of he's in a weird position there because he can't really shoot the three ball. He's a little undersized, can't shoot the free throw well. He seems to just be in this rebounding, setting screens type role and moving the ball. So I don't know exactly how useful he'll be. But we do have the roster spots. It was better than nothing.
Yeah, I feel like since the rise of Chuma Okeke and Mo Bamba for the Orlando Magic, they kind of had Birch as the third center. They kind of started him a couple games. He performed, I think, well one night, getting a 14 and 15 double-double. But after that, he hasn't been doing well in his minutes, so I guess the Magic just waived him. And obviously Masai not making any moves for centers in this free agency period, kind of almost like a panic buy, almost we can call it. And I think Birch does have some upside. I think hopefully, like Nick Nurse said, he can be a great backup center in this league if he really learns the system well. I think he does fit into the Raptors system. It's not a very difficult system to learn. A lot of help defense, and knowing that Birch has already played for Nurse at Team Canada, so he already kind of knows his play style. They've already talked. They've already had conversations in the past. I think it'll help Birch really adjust to the team environment. And I feel like he's the type of player to fit into the culture. He hasn't really been on winning teams. We saw him also, Gabe, in our playoff run to winning the championship. We've seen him play for Orlando, and he was pretty good. He can rebound the ball. But I don't know why, seeing him in this first game, he looked a bit skinnier than his 230 pounds listed here. I thought he looked a bit skinnier. I don't know if anything was COVID related or just losing weight. He looked a bit more mobile though, which can be beneficial to the team. And but like you said, Gabe, the thing is he cannot shoot the three ball. So I think that would be really the downside when having him to stretch the floor. It's really not an option here.
Yeah, because talking about like the Knicks game, I guess when we saw him play, we saw Gillespie at the 5, him at the 4, and it helped rebounding-wise, defensive presence. You got two big guys in there, but he was kind of staying in the corner and staying really wide out when he can't shoot it there. So then he often just had to cut in, and he just kind of stood there, but it wasn't really a threat, so it didn't make sense why he was there. So in the end, when he got the ball, he looked to drive, but he's so far away from the basket that by the time he gets anywhere, he already looks to pass it out, and he wasn't creating too much of an offense for himself. And we saw, you know, miscommunication, I guess, lack of chemistry, just having him immediately join, you know, that one play Pascal tried passing to him, but he was cutting because obviously what is he going to do in the corner if he can't shoot it? So I feel like it's already a weird offensive dynamic with him there. At the five, it makes sense, but then again, you know, he is a little undersized, so it's going to be tough to see where he finds his spot.
No, I think you're right there, Gabe, and I think with Gillespie and Boucher kind of being the pick-and-roll guys now, I really want to see where he fits into the offense, because there's no really spot for him. He can't really spot up anywhere if he's not going to be a pick-and-roll guy. And I noticed that Gillespie and Birch, when they were on at the same time, they were both kind of doing the pick and roll action, almost like a double screen. And I think they were a bit confused there of who's setting the pick and who's got to be somewhere else. So I think that can be an issue in the future. But moving on to Gillespie, I thought he was great in the couple games we've had him. I think we've had him for 3 or 4 games now. He obviously scored his first NBA bucket, like we saw on the Raptors Instagram, and he received the game ball from Nick Nurse. So that's a great achievement, and making him feel welcome into the team. It's especially important from a young guy coming from college, and he was in the G League with Memphis as well. And he came out of a Baylor system, playing under Scott Drew, so he has a lot of experience playing good basketball, and I think he's been a nice fit. Gabe, what have you seen from him so far?
Yeah, I think, honestly, I like what I've been seeing from him a little bit more than what I've seen out of Kem Birch. I really like, Gillespie's energy, his physicality, his ability to set hard screens, rebound well, his hands, obviously, you know, Nick Nurse talked about a little bit in the post game. He kind of got a little excited with those strong hands. His ability to grab rebounds and, hold the ball to the side, kind of like MJ-esque. He uses those hands really to, you know, control the ball well. And I feel like just that physicality and energy is something that we kind of need out of the defensive end. You know, Baines has the big body, but he lacks the intensity to use his strength and push guys around, and the quickness. And then Boucher, you lack a little bit of the strength and the weight. And I think Gillespie finds that balance. And honestly, I like what I've seen so far. His ability to just bruise up down there, I think, has just been valuable, even if he doesn't put up the best statistical numbers.
Yep. Defensively, I've noticed too, I think he's handling the NBA quite well. Obviously, like you said, with the weight and having, being versed in the centers, kind of put in that center role, sometimes when Boucher is off and Baines hasn't been playing of late. So he's kind of been in that center role, and he's handled it quite well, rebounding the ball well, doing what Nurse wants him to do when he does come in the lineup. So I thought he has been a great add. And then moving on, I kind of wanted to talk about this. Right now, like you said, Gabe, we're kind of in no man's land. We're in the 11th spot in the East, and I wanted you to explain, why do you think this is the kind of the worst spot you can be in for the Toronto Raptors team right now?
Yeah, we've talked about it, you know, a little bit on this podcast already, so kind of just to reiterate, there's the play-in tournament that's going on for the top 10 seeds of each conference. The 7th to 10, they kind of have a little tournament there, 7 versus 8, and then 9 versus 10, and there's a little thing that goes on, but pretty much if you're in the top 10, you're in the playoffs pretty much. You got a chance to make it. So our goal at this point is obviously pushing 8th seed would be hard, but if we get to the 10th, we have a chance to make the playoffs if we win the playoff tournament. So because we're not in the top 10, we don't have the playoff option. Because we're not in, you know, the bottom, let's say 4 in our conference, or, you know, overall bottom 5, you don't have the best draft pick. So you're kind of sitting in that quote unquote no man's land. Like right now, we're set up for the 8th pick of the draft, which obviously you can still get great guys out of the 8 picks, but you really see, usually on a historical level, the top 5 is where you're getting the best guys out of, for the most part. The game changers, pretty much. So falling out of that top 5 is a little tough. Getting the 8th seed, you end up getting a lower ranked guy, and you're not making the playoffs. It's not the best position to be in. You kind of want to either make the playoffs, we play hard, or you're tanking and you try going for a great pick. So that in between is just a sloppy area to be in.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused what the Raptors organization kind of really wants. We've seen OG kind of rest during the Knicks game and then Kyle come back. And I'm just confused. I don't know if it was because of COVID, obviously OG handling that and was out before because of it. But I don't understand where their kind of intention is to go with the season. I don't know if they're really pushing for a tanking, because we've been kind of seeing this one win, one loss, or one win, two losses kind of momentum just carry on. And I feel like we will end up in this 11th or 12th seed. And I don't think it's the best for the organization. I think we lost tremendous value in Kyle's last years coming up. And I think it's a horrible thing for the team. And I think we really got to clean that up and kind of have a clear vision of what we want to do. Obviously, honestly, I don't like the opinion of really tanking. I don't think that's the right way to go. Because even if you get those young guys next year, you obviously want to win with those guys. The whole objective of the league is to win, try to win games as much as you can, and obviously win the championship at the end. So I totally think that the Raptors kind of really need a clear vision of what they're going to do here.
Yeah, but we kind of, you know, we talked about it. We're in this position. No one knows what we're doing. And like you said, OG was out, right, because of rest. The game before that, Siakam and OG, they're kind of taking turns on who's resting, who's not. Then you got Kyle, who's been in and out of injuries for so long. Fred, who's been injured for quite a bit, plus the suspension. Bembry with the suspension. We're at this huge disadvantage. For some reason, we're winning the odd game, but it's still enough to move us up slightly in the standings. And you got like the Oklahoma City Thunder sitting right below us, and you know Washington, Cleveland staying in those spots where we can't seem to catch them. So we're stuck, like you said, in that like 11th, 12th in the conference. It's never much lower than that, and we're gonna end up being stuck with this pick. I feel honestly, whether or not we tank at this point, to me, I don't think it matters that much. Obviously, I love winning as well, but you know it's so late in the season that I feel like it's going to be a struggle for us to get back to this playoff spot, and we need something moving forward. But I also agree that we're losing this development of, you know, Kyle's last years. They're going out the window pretty much, him being with injury and our team just not performing. It's kind of looking like a waste. And if you saw, I think one of the, on Instagram, I saw somewhere, there was a little chart displaying compared to last season, how our team's doing in terms of winning more or losing more. And the Raptors were on the farthest ranking there. They had the worst spot, them and Houston Rockets, losing just a tremendous amount of games, more than last year. So honestly, that's like one of the biggest telltale signs for me that this franchise is moving in a bad direction.
Yep. And like you said, Gabe, I think resting guys, I know OG has put in his shift while all these guys have been gone, but when you rest guys, you take out the rhythm of the team, and you struggle with consistency over time to kind of build those wins. And when you're behind in a playoff race, that's really the crucial factor. But guys who have been stepping up, in fact, have been Yuta Watanabe, Malachi Flynn. What have you seen from them, Gabe, over the last couple of games? Kyle Lowry just coming back last game, and they've been really playing well.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking about on this podcast, I've been Watanabe fan since the beginning. Obviously, he had a rough stretch, you know, where we're talking a little bit about him needing to improve his offensive production, because obviously on the defensive end, he brings it on most nights, but we were looking for a little more contribution on the offensive ends. And I think that he has stepped up these past couple of games. He has brought it in terms of shooting the ball at a better percentage, you know, whether it be in the Bulls game, shooting 3 for 3, making his 3-pointer on the night, 7 points, contributing an assist, 2 rebounds. And then if you look at the Cleveland game as well, this one he had a very solid performance, 14 points off the bench, 5 boards and an assist, 6 for 7 shooting, a career high, making both of his 3 balls, 2 for 2, in his 22 minutes of play off the bench. And then even last game, putting up a little bit more modest numbers, 8 points again, 3 for 5 shooting, 3 steals though. I think that he's just stepped up, you know, getting his minutes back, obviously due to the suspensions and the injuries, we're low on guys. So I think it was the perfect opportunity to once again show that he's working very hard for his minutes and playing well during those minutes, that he deserves to get those more of them playing time back. And he's doing a good job offensively to make his buckets, keep the defensive presence. And yeah. And then Flynn as well, wasn't the best last game. You know, Kyle took over a little bit more, and he kind of fell a little bit more towards the back seat, I feel. In the Chicago game, he had a very solid performance. 9 points, but he had eight assists. Didn't shoot the ball too well, but I thought the playmaking was fantastic, you know, with very little guys there. No Bembry because of the suspension. No Fred, no Kyle. He did his best assisting the ball. He was really the top playmaker of the team that game. And 2 steals on the night. His defensive effort was strong as well, but the shooting wasn't there. And then in other games, he also did decent. I think he got outshined at times because, you know, Trent had a great performance one game, Kyle coming back. But consistently, he's able to put up good numbers. And that Cleveland game said a lot with his 20-11, you know, that career high. So, honestly, I think just solid performances from him. He's stepping up great. And once again, showing that he could be useful off this bench.
Yep, I totally agree with those points, Gabe. And I really think these two guys in particular have succeeded in the Raptors' rotation. I think because they're both versatile players. They can really play offense. They can play defense really well. They're very consistent on both ends of the floor. And usually with Malachi Flynn, We've really seen him struggle early on in the season with the scoring and kind of being aggressive and being very tentative when on the offensive end. But lately, we've been seeing him kind of get into his groove, shooting more. And I noticed he's kind of taking a trend to Fred VanVleet and kind of taking it from him, that fourth quarter kind of clutchness DNA. I'm kind of seeing it a little bit in these last couple of games. I noticed when the team's been on a scoring drought or something and the bench is in to start the fourth, Malachi Flynn is the guy to create, make the play, or score to keep the team going and keep them in the game. So I really think that's important to see from a young guy like him. And Yuta, I really see him as a very coachable guy and someone that really Nick Nurse can tell him what to do, and Yuta will do it in the game. Yuta will really perform and execute it in the game with 100%. Some guys don't come out every game with 100% like they say they do. But this guy is, once again, the example of that, really comes out to play, and he has skill. I just really think, once again, these two guys have been more aggressive of late, and they're really showing it in the games, and I think that's the real big key.
Yeah, so we've obviously complained a bit about both guys at times, whether it be Watanabe's offensive production or Flynn. You know, he didn't get a lot of minutes for a large chunk of the season, his dad complaining about that. I think the biggest turnaround for both of them has been added confidence and seizing the opportunity. So at this time, having all the injuries and the suspensions, only about, you know, 9 guys on the roster, 10, they're going to get big minutes. They know that. They don't have to worry about making mistakes or not getting their playing time because they'll get it. So they can just be comfortable in their time and be confident. You know, as the shots start to fall with Watanabe in that 3-ball, he'll hit them. When Malachi gets aggressive, starts making layups and attacks guys instead of just passing the ball around, they play better when they're confident. And so I think the confidence is the key for them to moving forward.
And a little kind of zooming into next season almost, and pieces that need to be moved, I feel, for next season, just for value and cap space. I had 2 really guys in mind, and I've made this decision over this time and seeing all the games, and I've really looked at Aaron Baines and Stanley Johnson as just pieces that I just don't think fit into the team. I really think that they're not bad players. I just think for this system and the way they've played so far, they just haven't contributed enough, especially for their salary and what we're paying everyone else. Aaron Baines is making $7 million and Stanley Johnson is making $3.8 million. So that's $10.8 million for guys that Aaron Baines is producing 5 points, 5 rebounds, and Johnson's producing 3 points. So I know Stanley Johnson is a defensive player, and he really might not show up too much on the stat sheet, and he's used for more defensive purposes. But I just feel like they haven't been doing it on both ends of the floor, like everyone else has been of late. And I really think this has become an issue, Gabe.
Baines, you know, there's been ups and downs. There's been disappointment when he first got here. Now we've kind of seen him play a little bit better, not get the minutes he deserves. If you look at it as a whole, obviously, he is getting paid a little bit, and he's not doing the most for this team. And I think we definitely need a better center, maybe another center. So if that's the way of getting it is to get rid of him this offseason, then I think that's all right. And Stanley Johnson, you know, there's been ups and downs. Defensive effort usually is strong from him. But like you said, offensively, it's not always there. And although there's great games, there's a lot of stuff that game in, game out, you know, me and Adam, and I'm sure other fans notice stuff that he just does wrong. Decision making on the offensive end, playmaking or forcing drives, getting offensive fouls. There was a play, I think, in the Cleveland game where he did a horrible pass, turned it over, passed it right into Sexton's hands, and then made up for it, recovered with a block. But then after getting the block, he spends time like flexing a Sexton. When really, you screwed up the play in the beginning. It's your fault that you were in that position. There's nothing to flex for that you blocked them. You made up for your mistake, and that's it. Stuff like that, I feel like his demeanor on the court is a little weird for the fact that he's not producing the most at most times. He can be a dog when he wants to defensively, but I feel like we've seen a lot of mistakes from him, and his IQ is still needing to be improved upon as the years go on and he has more time in the league.
Yeah, I for sure see these guys having success in the future. I just don't think with our struggling team right now that they're the best fits in terms of developing them and really getting them that role that they need to succeed. And I think that's the area that we haven't given them. And then one last thing before I wanted to go into the game recaps, I really wanted to talk about Nurse and Siakam and how they've really created a deadly duo almost in these late game scenarios this season. and having screwing up over and over again in these late-game scenarios, it's really becoming a habit, and it's getting really tiring for Raptors fans. Gabe, I'll let you say your piece first.
Okay, we're kind of leaning towards here the next game, so I guess we can talk a little bit about that now, and then when we talk about the games, we'll just go over the stats and stuff. So for specifically what happened there was 10 towards late games, you know, Nurse goes towards Siakam to make big plays, puts the ball in his hands, draws up final plays for him, gives him the game-winning shots, usually. So going into this game, it was very close, and then Siakam gave him a play where he went for a drive, one of those tough drives where two guys end up closing on him, and he always gets blocked in the end, but it was called a goaltend, and it was a two-point game. And then after that, once again, we had to make a stop because we were down by two. Lowry intercepted a pass, gave it to Siakam, who was then pushing a 3-on-2. Trent was in the far right corner, slightly opened. And it was a moment of just complete and utter panic, I think. Like, just yeah. Pascal Siakam froze. A max contract guy, $100 and whatever million, I don't even know. He froze. He got the ball, stood there, saw Trent open, didn't pass, had both of his hands together, and then dribbled it down and double dribbled and tried playing it off like it was normal and asked for a replay. Like, you clearly made the mistake there, and Siakam has to take responsibility for that game because he single-handedly lost us that game. And it's been, what, about 10 games now that he's cost us, between missing buzzer beaters, between screwing up final plays, turning over the ball, like against the Celtics, double dribbling the ball, all these from getting blocked on like layups in the final like minute of the game. It's been probably 10 games or more that he's cost us, and it's become a trend, and Nurse continues to give him the ball, continues to look towards him, and like that's the dynamic duo that you're talking about, that they're infamous, you know, they're famous for the wrong reasons here.
Yeah, and I also noticed just nothing about that game, but also with Siakam, I feel like he gets most of his buckets catching the defense off guard. And listen to this. I think this is a really good take, because in the last couple of minutes of the game, the defense is usually way more tight and play way more intense in those dying minutes of the game. And I feel like with Siakam, I feel like he can't get to the rim in those dying minutes because the defense is playing so tight on him and so tough. They're really moving his feet. And I think that's an issue. And I think they're really forcing him to either shoot the deep ball, which he doesn't like to shoot, obviously, and he hasn't shot a good percentage. And it's really making him uncomfortable. And then when he does get to the rim, it's a very, very contested or either a double team play. And I think in those late game scenarios, I don't know what he has to do to honestly make a better play there. Like, he has to just understand and stay calm in that situation. He can't get nervous and he can't get that paranoid feeling. Even with that play, Gabe, how you said he felt panicked. I feel like there's a thing in his head where in those dying situations, he feels paranoid of making the play now. Like, I feel like, or even if he's not paranoid, I think he wants to prove everyone wrong, that he hears all this hating on him, and you see how he went hard to the rim after he made that double dribble play. So I don't even think he's thinking about making the right play. I think he's just trying to prove everyone wrong, and that's not the mentality to have at the end of the game. And once again, I think it cost him. I think just for being in reps in late game situation, he hadn't had enough, honestly, in reps and having enough just repetition in that area, right?
Yeah, he's had enough opportunities in that time span. I think we've just seen it. He's just so unclutch. Like, there's no other way to say it, man. Like, yeah. We're Raptors fans. We support our team, but there's a point where we got to get ticked off at the calls that the coaching staff are making and stuff, and giving this opportunity to Pascal Siakam over and over and over again. Like, how many more times are we going to punch the air when he misses 5-6 buzzer beaters, when he screws up over and over again in final plays of the game? People constantly trying to defend him and preach that it's only going to get better and he's still working on it and stuff, and he needs more time. This is for the future of the team. I get that, but it's just over and over and over. It's 6 times you're giving the guy a shot to win the game. He's not the closer. He can't close. He every time the ball's in his hands at the end of the game, I think most Raptors fans are already clenching their teeth, because we don't know if he's going to screw up, you know, chuck up another crappy layup, get blocked on it, turn the ball over, now double dribble. We don't know what he's going to do. It's honestly, it's anxiety-inducing to watch, you know, him play at the final seconds of the game, because you can feel his nervousness on him the way he dribbles the ball and the speed at which he's trying to move that when he gets double teamed, he makes the wrong plays in the final seconds of the game.
Yeah, he's not assertive at all in those final minutes, and you can really see it. And then, but the way the play was developed was a steal by Kyle, and it was kind of like a rush down the court. Nick Nurse, obviously having a 3-on-2, you don't want to call a timeout as a coach. You have a numerical advantage, running up the court in the final seconds of the game. You got Lowry, yeah, you got no set defense, you got Lowry to the left, and you got Gary Trent to the right, so two good players supporting him. And it's just not a great decision by him. I don't know if it was just a brain malfunction in that time being, because I don't know how you double dribble. Like, I get Reggie Bullock kind of backed off and Gary Trent wasn't open anymore, but I don't know how that causes you to double dribble. Like, I don't understand how that happened. Like, sad.
He's a professional basketball player doing a high school double dribble. Easily kick out the trend, he's wide open, you can hit it to him, and he's not a dumb player in his shot IQ. Like, he'll pump fake, or he'll move the ball around. You still got a couple seconds to spare here to get a better shot off. Or, you be assertive, and what I expected him to do was take the shot, like he's been taking them game in and game out, those final buzzer beaters. Okay, at least take it then. It's a one-on-one, you got the speed and the advantage. Reggie Bullock scrambling to guard three guys in one possession. Plus, what do you think they do in practice? All those 3-on-2 drills that you've probably been doing since you were young on the transition break? Like, you got to make the right decision there. And the fact that he didn't even take a shot and miss it like we might have expected, he double dribbled. It's the strangest thing, and it honestly hurts to watch.
Yeah. Nick Nurse, like you said, in practice, Gabe, he has to be looking at that as, like, the key component to winning right now as a team. He's got to obviously focus in the rebounding, which we've seen a little bit of an improvement as of late. Yeah. The rebounding, closing out games in those last maybe a minute or 2 minutes is the key. And I think we still have yet to find those a couple key plays where we can go to down the stretch that will get us over that hump. And we still haven't found the personnel in the making there.
Yeah, I don't know why there's no improvement. Like, what are they doing in practice? Like, sign me up to be the coach at this rate. I'll start running some plays here. You got 2 minutes, we'll put a timer on, and then the team that loses, 100 suicides. Put the pressure on these guys to freaking figure out their plays and make the clutch baskets. Everything at this team, it just collapses in the final minute of a game.
Yeah, I'm really interested to hear Nick Nurse and a Masai Ujiri conversation post-game on how they discuss these final plays. And does Masai say, keep giving it to Siakam or just roll with them? Like, I feel like Masai has to say that because he already knows he made the mistake by giving Siakam the max. And he already looks dumb right now, so he might as well keep going with them and hope he makes a difference. And let's just say even though Siakam in these next couple games here to finish the season, he does hit a couple game winners, hopefully, or he does make a couple clutch baskets. I still think I just wouldn't go with him. I just wouldn't go with him. I just don't think he has it in him in those final plays to really make the difference and win a team a game.
Okay, we should get through these games quickly now. Chicago Bulls beat the Raptors 122-113. They were sitting right in front of us in the conference. This is a huge swing game because they get an extra win, we get an extra loss, pushing us in opposite directions. The Bulls pretty much dominated the game for the most part. First three quarters, they always kind of kept the lead on us. The fourth quarter, we tried bringing it back, but to no avail. Pretty much Chris Boucher was the talk of the night, had his career high in points and rebounds. Phenomenal performance from him. 38 points, 19 boards, an assist, a steal, and a block, 14 for 24 shooting. Absolute animal tonight. Him and Siakam had the most success. Siakam as well, 27 points, 8 boards, 10 for 17 shooting, 2 blocks. They really attacked Vucevic, who's obviously a slower interior defender. Even going guys like a Thad Young and Tice, they really just took advantage, even Markkanen. They really took advantage on those guys, and it was the key for us really here was getting to the inside, because that's where our success lied. The other guys didn't perform as well. You know, we were without Lowry and Fred VanVleet, obviously, they were both out due to injury. And then Bembry had the suspension game, and even Rodney Hood was out with injury. So the guards, there was not a lot of guards to go to. It was just Flynn or Trent kind of being the playmakers, switching back and forth. So they kind of struggled with a lot of the load bearing on their shoulders. Talked about Flynn's stats and the good assist numbers, but the shooting wasn't the best. Trent as well, shooting not good at all. 2 for 14, 1 for 7, 3 turnovers, 6 points. couldn't get anything to fall, like nothing at all, really. It was just a really tough game to see from him, even OG struggling to shoot 5 for 17 shooting. But he had 13 points, 6 boards, 3 steals, but 40 minutes, he packed them on. And then off the bench, Bane, 6 points, 4 boards, and 17 minutes. Stanley Johnson, 7 points, and then Watanabe, the 7 that I mentioned earlier. And then meanwhile for Chicago, Vooch, 22-7-4. Levine, 22-6-13. Those were their top guys, but everyone contributed. Markin in 18, Tice 14-10, Kobe White 14, Thad Young 11-9-6, Williams 11-7, Patrick Williams. They pretty much had contributions everywhere, and we struggled with our very injured and low number of guys. That kind of was the biggest factor tonight, I feel. They shot the ball really well. And they out-rebounded us, of course, and a lot more assists. So I really feel like we just got dominated because of the lack of guys we had, right?
Yeah, and Chicago was doing the same to us, Gabe. Like you mentioned, they were trying to get to the inside, trying to really get to Boucher. Boucher did his best, and I can't even blame him. Like, I think that the team as a whole has to rebound better, and they got to stop running fast break. Really, if your team's really struggling on defensive rebounding, you got to close the possession first, before you can even get like a chance to run. So I totally think they gotta really start doing that. And yeah, I thought the game was just really a fake comeback. Chicago obviously started out strong in the first and second quarter, scoring 64 points. So they really dominated throughout the game. Just in the fourth quarter, we bet them 34-25, and that was like the little comeback. But once again, it's one of our fake comebacks that we haven't played good the whole game. We catch fire for a little bit of a stretch and then go back to our inconsistencies at the end of the game.
Yeah, the Cleveland game was much more wild. This one, I don't know, it was very weird. Okay, so we won this one 135-115. All right, great win for us. Started the game off extremely hot, destroying, shooting amazingly efficient. We were at the start 7 for 7, maybe more. There was about going into halftime, we were around like maybe 80% shooting. Like, we were that crazy. We weren't missing shots. We had 87 points by halftime, largest in franchise history, compared to their 54. So we had a huge 30-point-plus lead at halftime. Destruction. It was looking like Golden State all over again. Gary Trent at 25 by half. It was very exciting. Third quarter, 29-13. Once again, 13 points. We went from scoring 47 and 40 points in quarters to 13 points. We are missing absolutely everything. I don't know what the heck happened that we just shut down and they kept up their scoring numbers, 25, 26, 20, around there each quarter, and we almost cost the game. We had a 33-point game, cut down to 12 at one point. It was getting dangerous. We almost choked this game on one of the bigger leads that we've had this season. It was just horrible. Like, I don't know what's going on with our droughts that we've seen over and over again. They're infamous. We keep having them, and there's no real answer for this. I don't know. I was thinking, like, maybe the rim was messed up on one side compared to the other, because we shot 80% on one side, and then the other side, we can't even pick up 15 points in a quarter. I don't get it. Luckily, the fourth quarter, we came out with a bang again, outscored them 35-32 and won the game, but it was very close. The only reason we came out of that was the start of the fourth quarter when the lead was cut down, and the end of the third, Malachi Flynn really stepped up off the bench, him and Watanabe. Flynn had the 20 points, 11 assists that I talked about. He really scored most of that going into that fourth quarter, start of the fourth, and Watanabe as well, his buckets. They were really during that rough time period where the bench was on and we were missing everything. Wasn't for them to, this game would have fell out of our hands, right, Adam?
Yeah, them along with Gary Trent, no one else was really producing. A little bit DeAndre Bembry to start the game when everything was really flowing, he was producing, but at the end there, everyone just shut down except for Malachi Flynn. He really stepped up, and it was his time to shine. It was kind of give it to him, let him make a play, and if you get someone open, just shoot the ball. Like, it was, that's really how we were playing there. And it's how the Raptors season has been so far. Just kind of breakdown after breakdown. Always really not playing their best in the third quarter. Coming out of that halftime break. And I feel Nick Nurse has to change whatever halftime speech he's been giving to the players, because they're not coming out at halftime with a lot of urgency. And we've seen it in multiple games now. So that whatever he's doing in there has to get going or has to change.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, Gary Trent had an absolute explosion. Career high, 44 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 17 for 19 shooting, only missed 2 shots, and they were 3-pointers. He had 7 3-pointers in the night. So let me just clarify that. He obviously played absolutely incredible. I just obviously want to make a point that Watanabe and Flynn were real anchors in that third end of third, early fourth to kind of keep this game alive, because there was that really weird stretch where, like, we couldn't score at all in the third. But that fourth quarter, obviously, Trent as well came alive when he got his minutes, around, like, 7 minutes left, came in and started doing the damage, keeping up his numbers. Very fantastic to see, man. Talk about Trent for a second here. This guy's been here for a couple weeks, and he's already had 2 of his career highs, 44 points being obviously huge. Second highest plus minus in history. It's honestly putting up crazy numbers here. Buzzer beater, right?
Yep. He's come to play. He's for sure come to play. And like he said, I really think, we've seen all this great stuff from him, because he also said that he feels wanted, for the first time in his career. And really that our organization is really counting on him to produce and be that spark and that guy. And we're really seeing it from him, because if Pascal's not going to perform that job, we need someone else to. And he's really been consistent of late. He's had a couple bad shooting nights, but other than that, he's been really consistent on the offensive end and defensive end. So he's been our best player for sure over the last couple games.
Yeah, so Siakam resting this game. We really saw the offense come to life in the first quarter, second quarter as well. Like the ball was moving fantastically. Trent was playing amazing. And you're saying with this guy, this kid, I think once you get him hot, he's not missing, man. It's all about that. He's got so much streakiness to him. He can really stay hot when he wants to. When he makes his shots, his form is so nice that they just keep falling. And it's a huge advantage to have in this league. And then quickly, Cavaliers, Sexton had 29 points, 5 assists. He's always a menace for us. We saw last game when we lost to them. And then Garland, 19.8 rebounds. Those were the best performers on their team. Even Kevin Love contributed 18 points.
Yeah, it was a great game from everyone. And I just wanted to mention one last thing before we move on to our last game against the Knicks. I just feel like when Siakam's in the lineup, the guy is like a clog. And sorry for slandering him. It's not really to just make fun of him or just crack on him, because the team has been not playing well. The guy just hasn't been performing. And for the money we're giving him, it's not even a bad stretch anymore, a bad stretch of games. This is becoming a consistent thing. And it's sad to see that the Raptors have made such a bad decision. Because I feel like in a game like this, if Siakam was in and Gary Trent was hot like he was, Gary Trent wouldn't have had his 44 points. I feel like it would have been way less, and it might have even resulted in a loss. Because I noticed even when guys are hot, Siakam still has to receive his touches. Even if someone's playing really well, I noticed 2 or 3 possessions go to one guy, and then Siakam has to take that third possession or has to get the ball back in his hands. I don't know if it's something, the statistics that he's looking for, like individual stats or whatever it is, but like as a team player, and Kyle does this a lot, if someone's really hot, Kyle will just let them have the ball and let them be good, be great, let them do their thing, and it's beneficiary for the team. But instead, this guy, Siakam, he just likes having the ball in his hands, and it's not even for the beneficiary of the team. It's becoming an issue.
Yeah, I think we noticed that a bit in the Knicks game, right? We lost it 102-96, and it was kind of back and forth. We started off really slow, picked it up in the middle of the game, and then near the end, when we were trying to make tough baskets, we'd find a couple buckets coming from our teammates, and then Siakam would come on and instantly take the ball in his hands. And I noticed that Flynn, who's trying to step up his role, really become more of a playmaker, the minute Siakam came on the floor, Siakam wanted the ball in his hands in the fourth, and Flynn was back to the corner, where he hasn't been playing good at all. As like an off-ball player, it was a totally shifting dynamic when Siakam comes on and wants his touches. And we've seen that he is not the best with the ball in his hands late game, and he's had those constant turnovers in those games. We versus Boston, he's had the missed shots and forcing up shots. I feel like when the ball's moving, we play our best basketball. And I think Malachi Flynn at the point guard, a proper playmaker, is the best way of getting it moving like that. So that's what I didn't like to see. In this game, Boucher had 17 points, 14 boards. He had a pretty solid game, 4 blocks, 6 for 10 shooting. Siakam had 16 points, 7 assists, 2 blocks, but 5 turnovers, 5 for 18 shooting. Bembry, no points in the night, only took 1 shot in 20 minutes. Lowry, 19-7-6, first game back, three steals, very solid. Trent as well, very solid, picked up his shooting in the second half of the game. He had 23 points, 9-for-17 shooting. And then Flynn, 6-5-4, but 2-for-9 shooting. Birch had the 4 points, 5 boards. Watanabe, 8-3. Hood, 3 points. Our bench, we kind of did a little bit, you know, a couple guys put in a couple numbers there, but not as much as we were hoping for. It really was the starters that put up numbers, and this game was another one that was close, and I really think just comes down to that final fourth quarter, last 2 minutes possessions, and the biggest thing being that double dribble. I think that sums up the game.
Yeah, it really did. I don't really have much to say about this game. It was just, I felt like there were some plays that went our way, some plays that didn't. We got some calls. The refs missed some calls. So I feel like, honestly, most of the games come down to the wire at the end, and we just got to be able to execute. And once again, we don't have that guy.
All right, that's pretty much it. We hope you all enjoyed. Yeah, you know, the season's been rough. It's getting rougher. The tank could be near. But yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. Nothing more to say here. Just check us out on Instagram at Rapsville. Like and subscribe. Leave your comments down below. We hope you enjoyed. That's us signing out. Peace. Okay.